in the Warren County Radio Bible School today. We are going to read from the Rock Cliff Review. Now, that is the bulletin we pass out at the Church of Christ that meets at Rock Cliff. And in the feature article of the bulletin, it's kind of a newsy bulletin telling about things to pray for and news about members and events coming up. But in the article of the bulletin, it usually ties right in with the sermon. And that particular Sunday morning, I was preaching from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 12 through 31. And so today in the Warren County Radio Bible School, I want to read that text and then read this bulletin article, which reflects the sermon on that text. And here is that mighty text. Who hath measured the waters in the hollows of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of Jehovah, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are accounted as small as the dust of a balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will you liken God? And what likeness will you compare unto him? The image of a workman hath cast it, and the goldsmith overlaid it with gold, and casteth for it silver chains. He that is too impoverished for such an oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a skillful workman, and setteth up a graven image, that it shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth above the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth princes to nothing, and maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they have not been planted, yea, they have not been sown, yea, their stock hath not taken root in the earth. Moreover, he bloweth upon them, and they wither, and the whirlwind taketh them away as stubble. To whom will ye liken me, that I should be equal to him, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and see who hath created these, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by name, and the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one is lacking. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from Jehovah, and the justice due me is passed away from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, Jehovah, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To him that hath no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon Jehovah shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now from that text, I preached a sermon that went something like this. The title of the article is, To Whom Will You Liken God? The inhabitants of Israel would be carried away from Jerusalem, their city and temple destroyed. In their captivity they would ask if their way was hid from the Lord, and if justice for them would be passed over, Isaiah 40 and verse 27. 100 years before their humiliation, God had Isaiah write the words that would comfort them. Comfort ye. Comfort ye my people, saith your God, Isaiah 40 and verse 1. In these words of comfort, Isaiah would remind them who God is, and he would remind them of his greatness and of his faithfulness. As for his knowledge, Isaiah asked the rhetorical questions. Who hath measured the waters in the hollows of his hand, and meted out the heavens with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Isaiah 40 and verse 12. Their answer is, the Lord has done this. As for his wisdom, Isaiah continues, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed unto him the way of understanding? Isaiah 40, 13 through 14. Twice Paul used these words from Isaiah to emphasize the wisdom of God in working out his plan for our salvation. You can see Romans 12, 13 through 36, or in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. As for the nations, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as small as the dust of a balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. They're counted to him as less than nothing. And vanity, Isaiah 40, verses 15 through 17. As for the idols, to whom then will you liken God, and what likeness will you compare him? The workman meeteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth the tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that it shall not be moved. Isaiah 40, 18 through 20. As for his rule, God sits in the center of all things and rules in all affairs of men. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. Isaiah 40, 21 through 25. Isaiah repeats his question from Isaiah 40, 18, and reminds them that God is the creator of all things. To whom will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Isaiah 40, 25 through 26. Therefore, they need not think that their way is hid, or that God has passed them by. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. In the common trials of life and in the uncommon ones, we may wonder if God has forsaken us, if our way is hid from Him, and if justice will be done. The words that Isaiah wrote to comfort Israel are words that should comfort us, for God remains who He is. In trials and tribulations, these words give us the patience to wait upon the Lord. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. We read to you in the Warren County Radio Bible School from the Rockcliffe Review, because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And with that, we're going to return to the Sunday school lesson we're looking at this time, about Peter healing the lame man, found in the book of Acts, chapters 3 and 4. And we're talking about Solomon's porch, because that's where Peter would preach from, and that's where he would gather. It was immense, an immense covered portico, or cloisters, as Josephus calls them, and they served as a protection from the sun in the summer, and from the rain in the winter. They contained space sufficient for the great multitude of the disciples when assembled in one mass, and also for many separate meetings of large numbers to listen to different preachers speaking at the same time, and all 12 apostles might be preaching in them at the same hour, each to a large audience, and yet far enough apart to avoid confusion of sound, in which these porticos the present meeting was held. In which of these porticos the present meeting was held, we cannot tell, because we're not informed as to which was distinguished by the name Solomon's, this being, of course, an honorary title. Not that Solomon had built it, but that it was named that in memory of and in honor of Solomon. Now for the helps and hints for the teacher. Healing this lame man furnished another great occasion for preaching Christ and Him crucified unto the people. But when all the people knew of what had happened, the healing of the lame man, they ran together unto Peter and John in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. They came in the sweet hour of prayer. We read in Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, now Peter and John were going into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. This miracle is introduced here because it marks the beginning of a series of persecutions which followed and which terminated when Saul of Tarsus was converted. It was one of the many miracles mentioned in Acts 2 and verse 43, which filled all the people with solemn awe and reverence. It was admitted by the enemies of the church to be a notable miracle, which could not be denied, and the influence of which must be counteracted in some other way than trying to deny it. Acts chapter 4 and verse 16. Peter and John were the leading apostles. In this story, the hours of prayer were the third hour, which is 9 o'clock in the forenoon, and the ninth hour, which to us is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Then it is supposed the morning and evening sacrifices were offered and incense was burned. The Jews connected the burning of incense with the hour of prayer. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the hour of incense. Luke chapter 1 and verse 10. This was the custom, and Peter and John observed that custom. will continue in our next class.